You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
I am at peace with my mental illness.
Mental illness saved my life.
My mental illness has helped me learn about myself.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Welcome to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca. I'm John, and I will be your host for this episode. Radio Totally Normal Toronto, or RTNT for short, is a voice for community mental health, produced by the members and staff of Progress Place, a mental wellness clubhouse in downtown Toronto. Today you will hear an interview with Breton Dabus from Street to Trail, a nonprofit that brings homeless and marginally housed participants into nature for day hikes and camp trips. As well, we have a segment of informal pop-up interviews with members from Progress Place. Both interviews surround topics how nature and mental health are interconnected. Street to Trail strives to decrease barriers and increase accessibility to the wilderness for marginalized adults in Toronto. Street to Trail provides participants the opportunity to build self-confidence and community while simultaneously receiving the physical and mental health benefits of nature. Now we'll be hearing from Anna Kay of RTNT interviewing Breton about his amazing organization. Let's listen into some of what they talked about.
Hi, my name is Anna Kay, and I'm here with Breton from Streets to Trail. How are you today, Breton?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Just a few questions I would like to know. What is Streets to Trail?
So Street to Trail is a nonprofit charitable organization that operates out of Toronto. It was started around 2001 and then got its charitable status around 2004. And what we've been doing for the last year and a half, we've changed things up a little bit, is we partner with social service agencies around Toronto. So we're mostly working with shelters, drop-in centers, and other agencies that are working with folks who are experiencing marginalization by poverty or currently living on the streets. And we take them out on hikes and camping trips. With each partner organization, we do a monthly hike. And then with a few of our organizations, we have the opportunity to do seasonal camping trips. And we're hoping to do more and more of the overnight camping trips as we go.
So you've explained a little bit about who can get involved, but is there anything else about who can get involved and how they can get involved with Street to Trail?
So for the most part, the folks that we're taking out are currently involved with one of the organizations that we work with. So that means they're either clients or accessing services there, sometime residents if they're a housing provider. What we're hoping to do this summer is have some volunteer opportunities. So Street to Trail had an island donated to it several years ago that we used to use for camping trips. We haven't been able to do so over the last few years. We're hoping this spring and then again in the fall to have groups of volunteers come up and help us sort of prepare that space to be used over the summer for camping trips. So there'll be hopefully be some volunteer opportunities there. And there may be some opportunities as well for folks to volunteer coming out on hikes with us if they have some outdoor kind of leadership experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you say your organization draws on what's often been called adventure or wilderness therapy in literature?
I certainly think that there is a therapeutic benefit that comes from participating in something like Street to Trail, from being outside, from being in the wilderness. So if we consider the forest or the trail as the therapist, which I would be happy to do, I think that definitely, yeah, there's that this is a form of therapy.
Wilderness therapy is defined as the prescriptive use of adventure experiences provided by mental health professionals that can kinetically engage clients on cognitive, affective, and behavioral levels.
By that definition, I would say we are doing that. I'm trained as a child and youth worker, so I have worked with folks with mental health challenges. And we certainly kinetically engage our clients on cognitive, affective, and behavioral levels.
Okay, perfect. Okay, next question. You've been involved with Progress Place in the past through Boundless Adventures. It's now called Boundless School. Can you tell us a bit more about the Boundless School and what your role was and how you got involved with Street to Trail?
Yeah, so Boundless Adventures, now the Boundless School. I did an internship summer while I was studying at Humber College to be a child and youth worker. Boundless is currently an alternative boarding school, but during their spring and summer program, they do shorter trips with different groups of folks. So in my second summer there was when I worked with Progress Place. I was a trip leader, so we were, during the spring, we would do 5-day trips with different social service agencies around Toronto. So we worked with Progress Place, with groups from CAMH. We would bring up adults who had traumatic brain injuries. And then we also had groups of youth from different high schools around Toronto. The model at Boundless has changed a little bit, so the focus is primarily on youth now. So I don't think that many of those groups are still getting the chance to go up and participate in Boundless.
Okay.
But Boundless is a really amazing program. It's on the Madawaska River up near the east gate of Algonquin Park. And what we do was take groups out on whitewater canoe and rafting trips. So on the first day, you'd kind of do what we call a swim through. So everyone had to jump into a rapid to kind of learn what that feels like. And then the progression went from there. So the next day we'd be learning how to steer a canoe or a raft and building some skills there until working up to the place where we go on a 1 or 2 night overnight canoe or rafting trip. So lots of building, lots of skills, having folks experience some new things, and building opportunities to sort of really experience success within that new environment. A really, really fun place to work. I'll be working there. I've been working for them still from here in the city, doing intakes for their boarding school program, and I'll be doing mental health counseling up there again in the fall. After I was working as a trip leader at Boundless, I worked for an organization called Loft Community Services, working with youth as a community support worker. So I was doing case management for youth with mental health and substance use issues. I did that for about 2.5 years. Over that time, sort of overlapping there, Street to Trail was going through a process where they were kind of reevaluating their program and determining whether or not there was still a desire from the social service community for a program that was going to take folks out into the wilderness. As they were doing that, they were doing research by interviewing different social service agencies around Toronto. So they got in touch with Loft. That was sort of passed on to me. I went and met with the woman, Kathy Biazzi, who was doing the research. And while we discussed Loft participating with Street to Trail, I kind of was sparked by the possibility of working for Street to Trail if they decided to continue their program. And then when they let us know they were going to continue the program, I applied to be the program manager, and here we are today.
That's interesting. Hopefully we get to work with you at Progress Place.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. How is getting out into nature and being involved with outdoor activities beneficial to homeless or low-income individuals living in the city?
Great question. Well, when we think about homelessness, we think about people who are spending a lot of their time outside. But I don't think that that's the same thing as when we access wilderness settings or when we're going outside for the purpose of recreation or for the purpose of like feeling better or building community, which is what we're trying to do with Street to Trail. People who are experiencing homelessness or who are living below the poverty line don't often get the opportunity to get out of the city. Street to Trail's mission is to decrease barriers and increase access to the outdoors. Currently, especially if you're living in downtown Toronto, there's a lot of barriers to getting out of the city. When we think about the costs of transportation, of bringing food, just having the time to spend a day and getting out, it becomes quite challenging for folks to do that or to prioritize that just with their own resources. So what we do is we cover the costs of that. We bring the vehicle, our partner agencies provide the food, and we give them the opportunity to sort of leave the city. And what I've noticed is you really start to see people relax as you're driving out of the city. You know, you get on the Gardner and you're driving down that downtown core. And one, I noticed that people haven't probably been on the Gardner in a long time, and they're always commenting about how much taller the city is now from maybe the last time they've been there. And then as we start to get out of the city, there's sort of this like breath, this like, wow, it's so quiet, there's so much space. And people really get the chance to sort of like let go of some of those everyday stresses. You know, if you're constantly around the things that are challenging you in your everyday, it's hard to let them go or take a break from it. So what we do is we offer a space where you can sort of be away from those things that are causing you stress or distress, holding you back in certain ways. And you get a day where you can kind of be apart from that. And you're building community with other people who are probably experiencing a lot of the same things. Yeah, I think that that gives folks added strength to be able to go when you get back to the city, to be able to take on some of those stresses and challenges.
Nice. How can being out in nature foster a positive outlook for people suffering with mental health issues and/or substance abuse issues?
I think that when we're out in nature, we inherently move towards like a state of mindfulness. Now, when we practice mindfulness, there's an important component where it is intentional. And I think that when we're out in nature, we have an intention of being there, of looking around at what's around us, of feeling our feet on the ground. And what we know from the research now is that mindfulness is a really important piece of overall wellness. Bringing our attention and our awareness to one thing, spending a little bit of time doing that every day, is something that they're suggesting everyone do, especially folks who are experiencing challenges with mental health, for folks who are dealing with substance use issues. Mindfulness is like a really key component in moving towards wellness. And what I notice is that when you're out on the trail, whether you are thinking about being mindful or not, you really are. Because one, you're in a new environment, so you have to be a little bit more aware. When we're walking down a sidewalk or a city street that we walk down every day, it's really easy to just have our nose in our phone and not really be paying attention to what's around us. But when you're in a new place on a new trail with trees around you, birds, potential wildlife, great views, you're naturally going to be more rooted and more grounded in that place and in that space, and really be present with that. Often, also when you're walking, you're sort of bringing a rhythm to your breath, whether that's increasing it or not, but you're becoming more aware of your breath, you're increasing your heart rate. So you're doing some really positive things for your physical health as well.
That's so true. What changes can a participant expect to see in themselves after attending your program on a regular basis or even just for one day?
Another good question, one that I would love to be able to sort of direct to someone who was a program participant. I don't like to speak for the folks, but what I would hope that folks could experience is that after just one day, I think that they will have an interest in doing more things like this, whether they come on another street to trail hike, or maybe they just want to spend more time exploring some of the forested and more wilderness areas around the city, of which there are many, and they're really beautiful. I think with continued participation, you get a few benefits. You have something to look forward to every month. If it's something that you're enjoying, then you're going to really be excited about getting out and getting into the woods, getting into that van and heading out of the city again. There's also a really key component of community building. So what we see is that with the different agencies that I take, we tend to have a group of people who come back month after month, and they didn't know each other when we first started, but they really start to build relationships. And I think especially living in the city, we can become super isolated, which seems crazy because there's so many,
so many people
all over the place all the time. But we can become really isolated and sort of like this independent little atom just floating around. But when we go out every month with a group of people and you're just chatting in the van and you're chatting on the trail and sitting down and having lunch together, it really builds some new relationships, some positive bonds. And I think that that's a really strong component to what we're doing as well.
Okay. Are there any plans to extend your the vision towards participants who might want to come outside of Toronto, like Mississauga, Brampton?
We are hoping to expand. I would love to see us working with agencies outside of Toronto. I'd love to see us working with more agencies like Progress Place, and you know, I mean, every social service agency that I've talked to is interested in this. There's just a matter of, well, the big social service question mark always is funding. So I think an important piece of what we're doing is we cover the costs. A lot of social service agencies, we're all kind of scrambling to get funding. And, you know, I'm sure Progress Place would do something like this on their own if there was the time and the resources to just do it. And that's just not the case sometimes. So we're offering this sort of additional programming to these agencies. But, you know, we need to have the money to do so as well. So we're writing grants. We ask for donations from people at different events. As that starts to come in and becomes a bit more regular, once we get a little bit more fluid income resources,
yeah.
Well, then expansion, I think, will definitely happen.
Is Street to Trail a year-round? Like, you know, since the trails are snowy during the winter, like, do you have winter excursions?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
less people come.
Okay.
But we definitely do run our hikes year-round.
Okay.
I had to cancel quite a few this year because of freezing rain. So typically, if it's not safe to drive, I won't do it, or we won't run the trip. Just, you know, liability and safety.
So there's snowshoeing and...
We do have snowshoes. We haven't... On Southern Ontario is a bizarre little climate where, you know, we definitely get snow, but never on the days where you want snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I plan snowshoeing trips, but typically there isn't enough snow on those days to do it. So we'll just go hiking. I bring boots, coats, hats, things like that. So if folks don't have the right footwear or not enough layers, that won't be a barrier to them being able to come and participate.
Nice. Okay. In a University of British Columbia research, mental health is described as including the capacity to move outside the self and thereby increasing and broadening mental and emotional perspectives about people and life in general. Do you think that being in nature has the ability to provide that outside the self experience? Like nature being the teacher?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it does, and that really beautifully articulates kind of what I've always imagined nature can do for folks. I think it is also like a really great perspective thing where it shows us that we're just like a part of this bigger thing, you know? So it can bring us outside of ourselves. It grounds us in a present moment, and it also reminds us that, like, you know, we're all just a part of this rock in the sky, and I don't know.
We're all one. Can you share an experience that you've encountered on the trail that may or may not be positive or negative, but just anything that comes to mind that that would be inspiring to anyone who's listening?
I have a interesting anecdote. I don't know how inspiring it may be, but hopefully this comes across well. I had a group, and we were out on the trail, and my agency support staff had a peanut allergy, and we were getting close towards lunchtime, so about halfway, getting about as far out on the trail as we could, and we stopped and had snack, and my support staff, unbeknownst to me, ate a granola bar that had peanuts in it. Also unbeknownst to the staff. About 10 minutes later, they approached me and let me know that they had eaten a granola bar. I check in with everyone about allergies and injuries before we start a hike, so fortunately I knew that there was a peanut allergy and I knew that we had an EpiPen. I didn't know we were going to be using it, but so they let me know that they had eaten peanuts, that they just realized this, and that they were starting to feel quite flush, quite itchy, and that their mouth was feeling like it was closing in. So we proceeded to administer the EpiPen and contact 911. We had a group of probably 8 to 10 people with us. So we had to kind of stop the group, let them know that we were going to be heading back. I let them know exactly what was going on, that things were going to be all right, but we needed to, you know, start making our moves back to where we were going. So I had the staff walk for as long as they could. They got to a point where they were getting pretty winded. They didn't want to walk anymore. So I carried them for a little bit of a distance. And then they couldn't do that anymore either. And so I had the group sit with the individual while we waited for EMS to arrive. Now we were out on trails, so it's, you know, there's no road names to give descriptions of how to get to us. So I was trying to describe to 911 dispatcher the best way to get to us. But it's also, we're talking about stretchers, and it's just pretty challenging to get EMS out onto a trail.
Yeah.
So we were waiting quite a bit. I'll fast forward a little bit and let you know that the individual was fine. EMS got there. Yeah, they admitted, they gave them some Benadryl. We sat with them for a while, and they were able to walk out. But what I saw, and the reason this story comes up when you ask about an anecdote, was because this was a potentially, like, one, it was definitely a life-threatening situation. It was potentially really stressful and had the possibility of being pretty traumatic. But what we saw was a group of people really come together to, like, support one another. So the staff who was going through the anaphylactic shock was really supported by not just me, and I would say more by the community of people that was around them. So the folks that they were working with at the drop-in center were really there and supportive, and, you know, trying to give space that was needed, but also checking in to make sure that they're doing okay. And then the group also was really supportive with one another. You know, some people are obviously a lot more stressed and worried about what's going on, and others are being there to support them. The hike was obviously cut short, but the group, you know, we sat down together after the staff was taken off in the ambulance, and we had our lunch and a snack and kind of laughed about it for a minute. You know, that nervous kind of laughter, but you think everything's okay, you're hoping everything's okay. But the group was really keen to finish the hike. So the next month we went back to that same place. We brought back the agency staff who had experienced that, and we brought as much of that group that could come that month again so that we could do it and do the full hike together. So while that was, like, a really kind of scary and stressful situation, it really turned into this community building moment where everyone kind of got a chance to shine. And to see people just support each other in that way is, makes my heart feel good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Breton, what is the best way to get in touch with you if you want to join a partnership or want to go on excursions? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. Check out streettotrail.ca. That's street-to-trail.ca. That's dashes, not underscores. It's a challenging website to speak, so hopefully that makes sense. Street-to-trail.ca. And then there's my email address on there. There's some other contact information, and yeah, reach out, and I'd be happy to get back to with any questions that folks have. Okay. You can also donate there.
Thank you. Okay, what's next for Street to Trail?
Hopefully this summer we're going to be doing quite a few more camping trips. Like I said, we're going to try to get the island kind of prepped and cleaned up and ready to bring some groups up there. And building a few more partnerships for the summer, as long as some of the funding we've applied for comes through. And then, who knows? We'll see. More and more partnerships, more and more trips. I'd love to see us getting into some canoe trips or longer multi-day excursions, but one step at a time. So this summer, we're just gonna try to take a few more of our partner agencies out on overnight camping trips and keep going with our hiking trips.
Thank you, Breton, for answering all my questions.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca. Today we are discussing the link between nature and mental health. Thank you, Anna Kay of RTNT, for that wonderful interview. For the full interview with Breton of Street to Trail, please check out the director's cut of the show when it's posted on RadioTotallyNormalToronto.org or on SoundCloud. While investigating our topic of nature and mental health, for this show, we found that nature has a strong impact on one's mental health. Here are a few facts according to an article from Moodwalks by CMHA Ontario. Green space provides an opportunity for physical activity, which contributes directly to physical health. As well, there is growing collection of evidence suggesting that exposure to natural settings has direct positive effects, independent of physical activity, on reducing stress levels and enhancing mental well-being. The capacity of the natural environment to improve the physical and mental health of the population and reduce healthcare expenditures is attracting the interest of health practitioners and policymakers everywhere. Such a prescription for health empowers citizens to create control of their own health and well-being. Toby of RTNT tapped into Progress Place's members to see how they feel about nature and mental health. Let's tune in and see what they had to say.
When you think of nature, what comes to mind?
Think of the sights, sounds, and smells of the great outdoors.
Flowers, trees, mountains, fresh air, birds chirping, the crickets.
Parks, birds are flying in the sky, rising sun, river is flowing, sitting beside the river, enjoying the sunshine.
Going for hikes in the summer through Hyde Park and the beaches.
Usually this summer, you know, the warm weather, and it's nicer to be out and about.
I think of my father who taught me about nature and a family cottage that we used to have.
How often do you get out into nature?
7 days a week.
I go out to nature almost every day. I'm 24/7 in the garden.
I'm really missing the outdoor component in my life now.
Pretty much every day.
2 to 3 times a week to have some fresh air breathe into my nose.
Not as often as I'd like, but come spring and summer, I'm more apt to be out.
When you're out in nature, do you feel more calm?
Yes, calming and soothing from the noisy city.
Yes, after 5 minutes walking and chasing the sun and looking at the full moon, I do a 360 degree and feel a lot better.
Yes, I do. Clears your head.
Yes, I feel more serene, comfortable, calm, and feeling connected with my higher power.
Yes, the winters are so long in Canada, for goodness sakes. Then when it's summer, it's like, oh, finally.
Do you ever listen to recorded nature sounds?
It's artificial, so no.
Not on a regular basis, though.
No, I don't have a sound machine. Maybe I should get one.
The video? Yes, I do. They make you relax.
Yes, I listen to the music for plants, which is on YouTube. Relaxation music for plants and yoga music for plants.
Yes, on my TV, I get the nature channel.
What do you do if you can't get outside, but you want to be close with nature?
An essential oils diffuser. So even though I'm not outdoors, I'm experiencing these natural fragrances, and it's really helped me with therapeutic things.
Well, I have my cat. So it's kind of, see, actually cat lowers your blood pressure, so that helps.
So I guess having plants inside the house helps?
I try to do meditation. It gives me the same calmness when I go in the nature.
Listen to some video or movie about nature. You can open the window too, you get any fresh air.
How much time do you think is enough with nature?
I heard that it's important to get sunshine at least 20 minutes a day, every day.
Well, maybe 5 hours a week.
An hour to about an afternoon or an evening.
Did you know experts say you should get anything from 20 to 30 minutes 3 times a week?
Can't say I do know that, but now I do.
Now that you know, do you think you get the recommended amount?
Maybe I am, because I take the bus 3 times a day or 4 times. So I walk. So yeah, I pretty much get in it.
Yes, I think I do, because I try to be outside as much as possible.
It depends how I feel.
I am currently not doing that. So that's good to know. That's a goal to strive for, I think, right?
Maybe not.
Probably not.
Those same experts say that as long as you make interacting with nature a part of your lifestyle, you should be fine.
That's great.
If you were to go out for a hike, would you rather go with friends or alone?
With friends.
couple reasons why. In case something happens, you have somebody with you. Also, you're more motivated if you have other people with you. Like, you might say you want to go for a walk in Hyde Park, but you put it off for weeks on end, but you may go with a friend.
I would like to go with my friends, because with my friends we can share and enjoy the nature together.
I would rather go alone, because I want to dwell my time in Mount Everest.
It doesn't matter. Whoever wants to go with me is okay.
I have my own time with nature, and then the rest, people are welcome. You know, of course, more people, more love, better.
I think it's always better to be with people in terms of experiencing things, talking about what you're seeing, smelling, and absorbing. But solitude can be a helpful thing, too, to clear your thoughts.
Do you have a specific place you like to go?
I like Allen Gardens, and I like the James Gardens by my parents' house.
I like the Scarborough Bluffs, and I like Ernest Thompson Seton Park, which isn't too far from me, and Thorncliffe Park, and Sunnybrook Park is nice, and Wellicott Creek Park.
I want to go to Mount Kilimanjaro and Mount Everest, because Mount Everest is a icy mountain with a glacier on the slope of the mountain.
My heart. That's where I find nature, resonate.
A dog park is the ideal setting. And through your dog, you get to know other dog owners and socialize, and it improves your life overall.
Do you think our city has enough nature and parks?
No, and they keep putting up all these condos everywhere.
No, I don't think so. I think it's sort of like urban sprawl right now. They don't have enough, but I know that the park system was developed after Hurricane Hazel, because a lot of the homes were washed away with the storm.
Yeah, there's Lambton Woods as well. There's Eglinton Flats. This is all like in the York region. And if you really look, you'll find a lot of nature parks here.
I think we do, actually. And we have like path systems, like a bike system by the Don River that's very popular for people to cycle throughout the entire city.
Depends what area you live in. I used to live in North York. Seem to be more parks around downtown. It's a little more congested, so not as many. But there are some.
And do you think there's a relation between mental health and nature?
Yeah, if I'm stressed, I stay outside and stay there for a while and go home.
Oh yes, definitely. Sunshine improves mood. Those balmy evenings in summer, and it's a really good feeling.
Yes, when you're sick, you need to go outside and get more fresh air and make the brain to be settled down, so it helps you to heal more. It helps healing the body.
Oh yeah. You may want to sit under a tree somewhere in the summer and put a towel down or a tablecloth and eat somewhere. Again, your nature, you're out of the grind into like just taking a break.
I think it could take away your depression or your anxiety, because it's something that relaxes you.
Environment is very helpful in maintaining a person's mental hygiene, because it not only nourishes or cleans the mind of the person, but enhances the health and well-being of the person's spirit.
Well, again, nature can be helpful with that in terms of just appreciating the planet we live on.
We just heard from Toby of RTNT interviewing members from Clubhouse, Progress Place, and Nature and Mental Health. If you are looking for a community to be a part of your mental health wellness, please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find a clubhouse in your community. Huge thank you to Breton of Streets to Trail, and thank you to all the members and staff of Progress Place who work hard each month to create Radio Totally Normal Toronto. RTNT airs live every second Wednesday of the month. Our next show will be airing May 8th at 3 p.m. Thank you, listeners. Please share this episode with your friends and family to increase awareness of mental health. To listen to previous episodes, please check out RadioTotallyNormalToronto.org. If you'd like to learn more about Progress Place, visit progressplace.org. Have a great day and see you next month.